I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. Steiny's going to be back tomorrow.
Steiny!
Congratulations to the Steinmetzes.
You think you got enough liquor? That's my first question. Did you get it right?
Well, we do know he went to Costco at some point, right?
Yeah. And he invited us over Saturday. I love the man.
Now,
he goes, guys, I know it's late notice, but if you want some barbecue, some food and drink, more than welcome.
Now this is where I got to take a little umbrage with Steiny.
Talk to
me. I hope he doesn't perceive it as a cheap shot, but we all knew what was happening with Steiny this weekend, right? He's having his daughter's wedding. Congratulations to Josie. Family's in town. A lot of people.
Shout out, Mary.
It's a good time.
Moms.
He knew that you were going to the California Classic because you guys talked about it literally on the show.
Wow.
And he should have known that I was going to San Diego, because that's why we couldn't grab one after the Thursday show. Why would any of us be available to come to the house during the middle of the day?
Yeah, Spadoni had the kids at the Classic, too.
Yeah, Spadoni can't get away from the family, with all due respect. And I appreciate the gesture, but it's one of those, like, well, I know they can't come, but I got to invite them last minute.
And that's why normally I'm Mr. Oh, gee, thanks, I can't make it. I was just quiet on the set.
Yeah, I mean.
Because I was feeling like that a little bit. Like, Steiny, I love you. But, man, how long you know you're, you know what I mean?
No, I meant he was thinking of us. Yeah. I appreciate him about that. Yeah. Speaking of the California Classic, let's get out to Nick in Ohio. Start this segment off, Nick. Wants to talk about the Summer Classic. Nick, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, doing all right. And I had a question, though, about the Summer Classic.
Yep.
First of all, the Classic. I mean, that's kind of an odd name, a classic. Anyway, why do they have it now, shortly after the end of the season, with these young players? It seems like it would make more sense to have it close to the beginning of the next season, so those young players who make the team will be fresh and ready. I mean, they'll be psyched and ready to go. Doesn't make sense. And just one other point is, If the other teams are making deals and getting better, and the Warriors either staying the same or not, you know, incremental little, then they're getting worse, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, like your thoughts there.
I got you, Nick. Well, it's just alliteration, like the California Classic.
Right.
It's just a summer tournament. But as far as why they do it now, I would equate it to rookie minicamp in the NFL. Like, rookie minicamp is not close to the season, but it's shortly removed from the draft. You get a look in real games at what your players have in the case of basketball. In football, it's just practice. But I think that's kind of the equivalent.
No, I'm with you. And I appreciate the question. And I think you knocked it out the park with the answer. But I'll just say this. You know, I'm sitting there looking at our guy Armstrong, who we got to have on the show. We were out at Chase.
Gave you dap.
Yeah, he gave you dap. He was 1 of 5, 1 assist, but 6 assists.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't just about the points or buckets, but it led me to your question about somebody you saw before you knew they were going to be somebody.
That's right. That's right.
This was phenomenal.
So, yeah, I was thinking about you at the California Classic, because, you know, unlike Steiny, I knew where you were. I knew you were busy.
I brought my black bag. I got to share, like,
your
I was
black
working.
Bag.
My work bag with my laptop in it.
Well, and you were a credential.
Yeah, but I should have just came in without it, right? Who was I fooling to make it seem like I was going to crack it open? But I
might have needed to take notes on some guys.
All right. So I got you. I had it on.
Well, now I got to ask. So, because I saw you posted a picture with Mario Elie.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Did he ask why you have your bag?
No, he did not.
Oh. I was wondering if somebody brought it up.
He wanted to hit the ship with us. I didn't know if we were going, so I told him
Thursday?
Today, game time decision. He's still in town.
I'd like to meet Mario.
All right, so we'll put something together.
Okay, well, if it's possible.
Yeah.
All right, so
I interrupted you.
No. I'm trying to get my train of thought. Stiney is rubbing off on me. The thing about it is, so I was driving back thinking about you at the California Classic, and I'm like, Guru might have seen the next big, you know, thing, right?
Wow.
Now, Cooper Flagg's obviously a exhibit A.
All right.
He's promised he'll be in Vegas early next week, right? Is officially
yeah,
when?
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
And he's in Grandy and Willard. They'll be there.
Yeah, the afternoon show is going to be out there. So they're going to get some great guests, opportunity to see these guys up close, and Flagg's going to be on full display. But he's someone we know about. Like,
right.
He's
supposed to be great.
Supposed to be great. But I was just thinking, driving back, like, have you seen anybody that a couple of years later you realize, oh my God, like, I saw that guy. Now, it could be maybe you saw an artist. You could have been an athlete. But I was thinking about you at the California Classic. I'm like, what if Goo saw, I don't know, Taron Armstrong in this case, and Taron Armstrong turns out to be a dude. You can say that you saw, in some ways, like the birth of Taron Armstrong.
Yeah. No, I loved it. This is provocative, man. And I'm thinking to myself, you and Ken didn't know. We were in the green room together. Evan, I was a little sports sad that, honestly, like Eddie House comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that counts. I'm thinking, that's my guy. Union City, coached him in St. Anne's, knew he had talent, watched him in high school.
He didn't know he'd be like an NBA champion.
No doubt. Yeah. Gotcha. Hitting a big shot in the series. So that counts. But the one recently, and I wanted to flip over the table like, oh my gosh, this applies, is going again, little Daryl at Santa Clara, going to those games at least 12 times watching Pajimski, and I never a bad player, but I'm not a scout, E, but I feel like I got that. If something jumps, I could. He was always athletic, and he was in a different role to where the team was kind of his. He could do what he wanted, but he ran point. But to answer your question, I never, ever thought he was capable in year one or anybody I was watching on that team to come run point in whatever capacity like he did and be what he is now, dependent in the point guard on a Warrior team with Steph, Dre, and Steve Kerr. So does that count?
Absolutely.
Okay, because that is one, whoa!
Yeah, I think your expectations for a player and then what they become, if they're totally different, absolutely. Yeah, 888-957-9570. If you saw an athlete that, you know, it's kind of just, hey, this guy's playing or this woman's playing, and then a couple years later you look back and go, wow, like I saw the beginning of that, that's what we're talking about.
One for you?
One for me. So I have three.
Oh, okay.
But the first one is probably like Jared Goff. Like I played against Jared Goff in high school.
Come on, E.
I didn't think he was that good. Now, granted, I played against him in baseball, not football.
Oh, all right.
But gotcha. Even football, there were other players in our section that I thought were, just from watching, like, just as good, talented. Goff obviously stood out. And I'm looking back and, you know, you watch him in college and then you, oh my God, he's the number one overall pick. He's a pro bowler. He actually factors into our question in a little bit, but like, I didn't know Jared Goff was going to be what he became. Yeah. Yeah, Jared Goff I saw in high school. But Ken also has one as well.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know what's funny? And you said artist, so that kind of got me thinking. I've seen somebody before they really blew up as an artist. And it's funny because I just saw him on Tuesday. So Post Malone just finished, wrapped up called the Big Ass Stadium Tour.
Okay.
25
He's a country artist now.
Yeah, country, rap, like he does it all, apparently.
Oh.
Him and Jelly Roll was the opening act. And I realized, I'm like, you know, I've seen this guy three times, but the first time I saw him was at the PlayStation Theater in like middle of Manhattan, $45 I paid. And I'm standing from here to where you guys are, less than 20 feet. Now I can't even get that close. Like,
he's packing
stadiums, 65,000 people, like at Oracle Park on Tuesday. And I'm like, yeah.
How enjoyable was it for you when you first saw him? Were you like, he's okay, trash? Or?
No, it was fantastic. I mean, it's funny because he only had one album at the time. Now he's got like, what, five, six?
And he's a completely different artist.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Ken saw him, he was rapping.
You're right.
And now on Tuesday, he's singing with a banjo and a Bud Light.
And he's got pyro and he's got fireworks and all the whole nine is out there. And it's just like, man, how this guy came from along. So thinking about it in that way. But yeah, Jacob DeGrom was the other one. I remember when he first started against the Yankees, but yeah, and that nobody, no Met fan thought he was going to be Jacob DeGrom, like how we know him.
But coming out of college, what was
he? The Stetson? Well, he was a shortstop in college.
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't even a pitcher.
What?
And this is from the 510 on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line. When Beast Mode was at Oakland Tech, obviously Marshawn Lynch.
This, wow.
Gave my high school D'Anza the business. Everyone knew he was different. But I wondered at the time, like anybody can recognize someone who pops, like talent on a court.
Sent me home twice in high school.
Yeah, exactly. But
and he turned up to be, he turned out to be a Hall of Fame
yeah. point guard. That's crazy. Like, you know, you see some guys in high school or you're like, oh, wow, he's really athletic or wow, you know, what she can do is unbelievable. But it's hard to look at a person and say, you know what, I think that person's going to be like a future all-star. It's really hard to project.
Oh, man.
And it's funny because a theme of the day has been projecting what, you know, a Kuminga could be or what the Warriors could do. And like, I don't know if anybody that you saw on Saturday is going to pop, but if they do, you'll probably remember that game.
Oh, no doubt about it. And Evan, I think now I feel like you've solved the mystery as to why it's so pleasurable. I love hoops. I'm watching the WNBA every night. I got the package. So maybe it's my love of ball, but it's also what you just said about this proposing this question. And Dalton Kinnick's ass was out there. Why was I mad he was out there? I felt like he was a 7-year veteran. You know what I mean? A 7-year veteran on a, you know, to the rest of these guys.
Well, he's 25
like that,
years
I know,
old.
But that ain't fair. Dalton, let the kids ball. But
there should be an age limit.
It's
in the
unknown,
California
Evan.
Classic.
You got me. I'm quibbling over here. Is the I know people know we're like the unknown.
That's the best part about sports, in
my
opinion.
And that's why I said GOATs are not announced. They just arrive.
Did you write that?
No, I took it from somewhere.
You didn't have to admit that.
Yeah, no, it hit me.
Okay.
It's what you're saying. Sometimes you don't see the, you know what I mean, Evan? They just come out of nowhere.
The ones that are promised and deliver are so rare.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, Tiger Woods,
Jordan.
The Williams sisters. You were around then. Like, was Jordan promised?
I thought he was about to say Abe Lincoln.
No, no.
Oh, Matthew, damn.
No, no. Like, Cooper Flagg is promised. He's supposed to be the best American.
All he can do is
Kevin
disappoint,
Love, right?
Evan. That's the reality. Guys like him, all they can, let's keep it real.
But that's why someone like Bron is pretty incredible.
No doubt about it.
That's why also, on the flip side, Curry is so captivating is because he wasn't promised. He wasn't supposed to be
his
a guy that made it.
We're messed up.
But he was not a top five pick. There were two other guards, point guards, taken in front of him. He was a scrawny little PG from Davidson College.
And why, real quick on that, if like the BT Awards years ago after Steph got voted the most MVP,
now, I
and
haven't
it was
seen
the first
those.
Time unanimous MVP.
Yeah.
They had this new thing. It only lasted about a year or two where the players, it was on BT, the actual players voted for their MVP.
Now, I'm going to ask if that was the ESPYs.
No. ESPYs, and I just found out what that meant. I'll give it to you in a minute.
Okay.
I was watching the Jim Valvano special. And
that was on BT?
No, that was on ESPN. Oh. I was watching. But the awards were on BT.
I got you.
And it was for the players. And it was the year Curry won most unanimous. They gave it to Harden, the players.
Yeah.
I felt like that reeked of jealousy. Okay?
Yeah.
So I bring that up because LeBron's Curry's guy right now, and they're friends. I'm not hating. But, Evan, you want to talk about the emergence or the interception of chips? How many would LeBron have had there been no Steph? And that's what's so beautiful about Curry in this dynasty is it came out of nowhere, Evan. If Curry's not around, Bron has 3 or 2. He might be with Mike.
Oh,
I think seriously. And I feel like that's why LeBron especially hated, without saying it, he was, God damn.
Dump that.
Yeah, that damn Curry, yeah. Pops told me to quit saying that word a couple days ago.
Well, you've been taking the name of the Lord frequently lately.
Yeah,
you just got to leave that on Sundays.
Sorry, kid.
But, okay,
no, think about that.
No. But that's what is so impressive, and that's why, like, I don't care where you have LeBron ranked 1, 2, 5, 12, whatever. The fact that Curry has prevented him from winning as much as he could have won,
man.
That is, like, that's on Steph. that is him. And why I think that if you're really looking at the greats, I don't really have another player that I can think of that's a more unlikely GOAT than Steph Curry. He's the most unlikely greatest of all time in NBA history. That's why he's so special. That's why there will be another, never be another player like him.
So if I bring up Tim Duncan, are you more leaning towards
the number one overall pick?
Okay, I got you. So you were supposed to do that.
I mean,
no, you might, man. You got to ask the guys when they come in.
Well, the only other guy that I think is in his league, and his career is yet to be finished, but it's maybe Jokic, his second round pick. And he's headed for being one of the top, I don't know, 25 players ever. No doubt.
If, man, less than that.
And granted, my knowledge doesn't go back as long as some, but I can't recall another player that is a least likely considered one of the greats than Curry. And now it's not even, like, it's ridiculous. It's unequivocal. Yeah. You can't argue it. But
why do I want to bring up Derek Jeter? And
not number two GOAT. Overall pick, yeah. I think.
All right, I got you. Yeah, but not Kalamazoo. That he was the GOAT, but what he built. You know, he was a part, like, that was the guy.
Well, he built,
and I know some people think he's overrated, and I hate it.
He built five of the 27 world championships that the Yankees have.
But you feel like he didn't leave any meat on the bone being the number two pick and just coming up. Like, dude was clutch. He was everything you want your face of the franchise to be with the hardware.
He's the reason why there's not another single-digit number to give away to any future Yankee player.
That's incredible.
And he got it on the first day of spring training. All right, I do want to get some people involved here, though. We got phone lines lighting up. 888-957-9570 is the number. Did you ever see someone, and then you look back and you say, wow, I saw the guy or gal that was next up? That's what we're talking about right
now.
That's great. Evan Infersteiny with Guru. Let's go to Mouse in San Francisco. Mouse, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, it's Moose. It's all good, though.
Oh, my bad, Moose. What up?
No, it's all right. Hey, so I called in. I actually had a thought of a player that I saw like 20 years ago, and then I thought of something else, too, while I was on the line. I went on a date. I have an athlete and an entertainer. I went on a date with a girl in like 2006, and this artist comes into town into San Jose at the SAP, and guy's name is Drake. And I'm like, oh, we're gonna go to this Drake concert. Lil Wayne's supposed to be there. This
Aubrey?
And that. Never really heard of him.
Yeah.
At least he hadn't really blown up like that. And so we go to this concert, had a time of our life. And I'm like, you know, this guy's really good. I have a feeling he's gonna be a killer artist. And here he is today as like one of the best in the world or whatever. Not to say that I called it or anything, but and then the one that I always think about. I literally always think about this moment. Like 20 years ago, 2000.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
2007, I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee, my family's house. My mom grew up out in Knoxville, and my cousins went to Knoxville Catholic High School. There's a stud athlete there. We're at a basketball game. This is over Christmas break. I'm at a basketball game watching a young Harrison Smith. I think it was his junior year of high school. And all my cousins, everyone is telling me, my cousins are all football players, telling me, this guy's a stud athlete. He's actually one of the best football players on the team. He's an incredible. I'm watching this guy play basketball, jump out of the gym, white guy. Like just unbelievable skills, the most athletic person I've ever seen, like live and right in front of me. And then, you know what, 4 or 5 years later, I think he goes to Notre Dame for college, ends up getting drafted by the Vikings, and the rest is history.
He's a baller.
A 9-year, 10-year event or whatever he is. So I thought that was cool. Cause I look back, I literally remember the moment sitting in the bleachers and I'm like, man, this kid is unbelievable. He's gotta be something someday. And here he is as an NFL stud.
Mm.
Evan, this is great.
Yeah, and it's kind of built around the California Classic because Goose went on Saturday, saw a lot of young, promising talent, and might have seen the next. We got a lot of texts coming in from the Boxford Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line.
It's his memories, but I got in Ken's ear.
Yeah.
Wasn't Drake kind of Drake in 06, or was he? I know the beginning of Drake. I want to say he was already Drizzy, but I could be wrong.
When did Houston Land of Vegas come out?
Dude, that is, I want to say 03, 02. I got it right here. I just played this.
Is that far, too far gone? Too far gone. I think that was the first big one for Drake. Yeah, successful. This is from the 707, though. What about Kobe? No one thought he was going to be as good as he was.
Jerry West did.
Kobe did. That's who thought was going to be the greatest. He is also the, look, I know Steph was the son of an athlete. So was Kobe. But I think he only was picked 13 because he said he didn't want to be taken by teams. I mean, Kobe Bryant would have been picked pretty damn high if he would have gone to Charlotte or some other location.
Remember Curry? Dale Curry had a little of that. He wanted his son in New York. When Curry's draft, kind of like, don't mess with him a little
bit. And I am very grateful.
That's incredible.
I'm very grateful.
That and Curry not taking the head coaching job.
Yeah, the 925 is coming in with it, and I get that. It was keeping it to basketball. I was talking about the NBA, but Tom Brady's probably the most unlikely athlete
there
ever.
You go.
But again, if you saw him, like, did you see Brady when he was at Sarah? Did you see Brady maybe when he led one of those fourth quarter comebacks at Michigan? You said, huh, that guy's pretty good.
Sixth round pick, right?
And you look back in 10 years, like, wow, I think I saw the greatest quarterback of all time in his infancy. That's kind of what we're discussing.
Evan, I don't want to take it down a notch, but is it fair if somebody saw Tom Brady at Sarah, didn't think he would amount to anything, and then calls now and says, oh, I knew. Well, obviously, you got to say you saw something on a good day that made you think this guy or gal could go on to do great things.
That's a good point, too. Someone you saw that was really hyped, or maybe just you're like, the player's not very good, and that player turns out to be a big boy. Like, I have a couple of other names. One of them was Tarek Skubal. So in 2019...
The Tigers ace?
Oh, yeah. Best pitcher in baseball. So in 2019, he was in AA, and I was broadcasting for that minor league team in Erie, PA. And he comes up halfway through the year, and he has electric stuff. Like, he throws 95. Me. But never in my sane mind did I think that Tarek Skubal was going to one day be the best pitcher in baseball. He was dominant, but he was coming off of Tommy John surgery, working his way back, and I'm like, well, that guy's pretty damn good. And now I look back and I'm like, wow, I saw the best pitcher in baseball 4 years before anybody.
Man, Evan. But you had you respected his talent, but it sounds like you had a limitation on him getting to the heights he is now.
Well, assuming that someone's going to be the best at what they do, is a pretty big assumption. And we got a lot of people coming right now. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to AJ in L.A. AJ, good afternoon. What's going on, man?
Cheers, gentlemen. How you doing?
Hey.
So I grew up in St. Louis, and I want to name a couple guys. So I went to high school with Matt Scherzer. So we saw him, and he was pretty insane. But as a kid, when I was growing up, it was this guy who was iconic back in St. Louis, connected to the Bay Area, and that was Larry Hughes. Larry Hughes is an icon in St. Louis. Them play. I remember as a kid, and I played a little bit at SLU. This dude, I mean, he had the stadium's feel like the entire city was going to SLU to watch him. But I'll name another guy that's kind of off the radar who I kind of watched as a kid. And I think he may be with the Warriors still, but Yuri Collins. Yuri Collins is another guy. He hasn't really, I guess, he hasn't broken through in the NBA. But this kid, like, we watched quite a bit. And he was unbelievable, like through high school, even at SLU, like he was dropping 20 assist games like it was nobody's business. And defending, I can't believe he's not, is he in the league with the Warriors? I'm not really sure. But Yuri Collins was insane back in St. Louis. But that's all I have.
I got you. Oh, AJ in L.A., Louisiana, L.A. All right, let's sneak in one more call before we got to hit a break here because I see a lot of people chiming in. Joel's in Berkeley. Joel, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing well. How about y'all?
Hey.
Fantastic. What do you got?
Hello. All right. So, look, man, I watched the California Classic. I didn't see Goo in the crowd. Probably the black bag hiding him. Anyway, what do you think about this Mobley kid? I mean, smooth footwork, nice soft touch around the hoop, fights for rebounds, blocked a couple shots. I'm like, dude, you know, I mean, we already kind of got a hook in him, and he ain't costing much. Maybe at least you can replace Looney. He's definitely got more potential to score some points and seems like fills the same role. I mean, obviously, we didn't see him set screens for Steph or anything, but yeah. And I realized, you know, there's a lot of guys who look hella good in summer league, but he looks smooth and good and polished, and I like it.
I gotcha. Well, how about this? And Goo's a little down on you right now. And I think he's down on me, too.
We're all stunned. Did he have to say black bag?
It means but he listened to the show.
Hey, the black was bag, but all he had to say was bag. But whoa.
It's your
I didn't know
bag.
How to yes, my. Did I tell you I had my black? I did say black bag.
You said but, you were doing some scouting.
Dude, running with Tim. Boy.
All right. How about we give you the scouting report on Isaiah Mobley from Goo's black bag on the other side? Because we got to hit a break here. I see you, Will. I see you, Ben. I see you, Sharif. We're talking about when did you see someone that you look back on and you're like, wow, I saw who was next up. Guru was at the California Classic this weekend. In a couple of years, he might be looking back and saying, Will Richard, I saw when he was just beginning to bloom. All right. That's what we're doing here on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz. Coming up today at 4:30, the Valkyries take on the Atlanta Dream, and you can hear the game on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX. Pre-game starting at 4 o'clock. We're back after this on 95.7 The Game.
Let's welcome in Casey Johnson, writes for the Chicago Tribune, also works for NBC Sports Chicago. What's up, Casey? How you doing?
Steiny, I left the Tribune 6 years ago. Come
oh,
on.
Man.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You can't play that when he's not here.
Yeah, he's around listening.
He can't even defend himself.
Oh, I can.
Yeah. Because you guys crush me when I'm out. Oh, my God.
Well, so someone thought I was taking a shot at you. I think it was a couple Fridays ago
somebody
in the crossover.
Defended me? Yeah.
No, Bonte thought that I was taking a shot at you because I had a gripe about one of my gripes was that like Kendrick Perkins was doing a video in his car about Bill Simmons, and he was, you know, mad at him. But he was in a suit with his seatbelt on, and I just hated it. Like, my gripe was videos that are taken in cars, and someone was like, oh, is that a shot at Goo? And I was like, well, I kindly let you know that.
I talked to him. That's my brother. But I do mine with the seatbelt off. The one on Saturday, the seatbelt was off, Evan.
You can't look like you're in the carpool lane when you're doing a video.
People.
You're going to post on the internet.
Yeah, I'm like, they love my new shirt I got from the store. And then the comments were all about the traffic. I go, what traffic? And the picture got the traffic, Evan. That's all they care about. I'm like, people see everything, man. Anyway.
All right, real quick, but before we dig back into this, I do need a piece of advice from you.
All right. And I give it to you raw and uncut.
I know. This is why we got a couple more days together. How do you apologize to a friend about texting them about hanging out with another friend? Like, I got two friends in my phone that are both J's.
Okay.
And one Jay had asked me about hanging out today a couple weeks ago. I said yes, yada, yada. And then another friend whose name is closely related, Jay, texts me a couple days ago and says, hey, I'm only going to be in town for one night. Do you want to hang? And I was like, ugh. So thinking I'm texting the first Jay, I text the second one. And I said, hey, what do you want to do? And my buddy's looking at me like, dude, I'm the wrong guy.
Oh, no. Now, like, there's still positivity in my answer. Go ahead, E, because I don't feel like you did anything.
I felt so awkward.
But you shouldn't have if you and the potential friend had potential plans. You didn't have anything concrete.
We did.
Oh, boy.
And I had to renege. I had
after
to back
you
out.
Sit-
but I had told him essentially that I was backing out.
I'm going to back off.
Hey, thank you, Priest. And I just felt weird about it.
You should. Now, one would, the way you handle business or conduct yourself, professional, young, I would think you would have the cojones just to be out in front of it and tell the other friend, I'm not going. But
yeah,
that's the new millennium.
Well,
what
this
you guys
is where
do.
You're a bigger man than me.
This is what you guys do.
Literally and figuratively, but it's, I'm a poodle. I'm going to admit it. I'm a poodle.
But you're worse than that because you stepped in it by sitting, like, how did you, so what did you respond?
I said, my bad, didn't realize I sent this to you. Just a heads up, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight.
Right. Ian, I think he knew that.
And
wow.
He said, yeah, I got the gist. Have a good night. All right, let's get back to the topic at hand. We're talking about a time that you saw someone and you look back and you go, wow, I saw the next up. I saw the person who was next up. I saw Tarek Skubal when he was in the minor leagues. He's now the best pitcher.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
In baseball, Goo saw Brandon Pajemski in college when he was a teammate of Lil D's. Who you got? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Ben in Berkeley. Ben, how we doing? Good afternoon.
Thanks. Thank you very much. This is a great show. I was going to say when I was at UCLA, it was 1997, and we were in the Wooden Center. And Magic Johnson's there with Shaquille O'Neal, Rick Fox, and Matt Barnes. And we're watching Baron Davis versus Kobe Bryant play one-on-one.
Come on, and, man!
And then Baron Davis goes up to dunk on Kobe, but they're both kind of stuck in the air, like hovering. And then Kobe comes down a little bit, and Baron Davis just dunks all over him. And just flushes. And everyone's like, oh, my God. And all the UCLA players are there, and everyone's like, holy moly. Like, Baron Davis is coming to UCLA. Kobe Bryant hangs out here all the time. Tupac was there all the time, just to drop another one. But when I was in high school, I got to watch and Jason Kidd play baseball on the same team as me. So, of course, I watched him play point guard. So when he was a freshman, Mark Ibanez was there doing interviews. Everybody knew he was going to be the real deal. And then he played against Steve Nash at Santa Clara. That was obvious. And when Steph came out of Davidson, I remember saying, who's going to get that guard out of Davidson? I think a lot of people thought Steph was going to be good, maybe not as good as he is right now. But what's even funnier is that, oh, yeah, and in Alameda, J.R. Ryder was here. I played baseball against J.R. Ryder. So when he did the East Bay Funk, I was like, oh, there's that guy that used to – him and Lamont all the time. Me and Lamont were on the same team. J.R. was 1 year older, and it's Lamont.
That was my buddy,
brother.
Lamont. Yeah.
Hell, yeah, Lamont Ryder's the best, man. And you know what's even crazier? So at St. Joe's cut Damian Lillard. Can you believe that?
Ouch.
So sometimes it goes the other way, too, so – you know, Dame Lillard had to go to Arroyo out here before he blew up, and now he's darn near the best of ever that's ever done it. So you guys have a great show. I'll see you guys later.
Hey, good stuff.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate the call.
What if I told you I have, guys, right now, no doubt, the UCLA envy of watching Baron, a young versus Kobe, with Wes Shaq and who else, Barnes in the crowd. Like, man, it had to be a beautiful day in L.A., man.
Well, it sounds like he was aware of who these players were. You know, and again, I think if he wasn't, that's even cooler. Because you're like, damn, I didn't realize I just saw Kobe and B. Diddy.
Right.
Well, get a little close there. Baron Davis.
Yeah, he got off. Well,
one-on-one. Yeah, we're going to leave that aside. Yeah. All right, let's go to Sharif in Martinez. Sharif, what's going on? What do you got?
How's it going? Can you hear me?
Hey.
Yes, sir.
When I was just thinking about kind of your question, I was like, a player that kind of outperformed what maybe their expectation was from the Miami Hurricanes, Frank Gore, tearing two ACLs, and then becoming one of the all-time leading rushers in the NFL.
Wow.
Well, right on, Sharif. Yeah,
that's
no doubt.
Call redemption.
Yeah,
or,
no
if
doubt.
You, yeah, we'll just... what's the other word too? When you come back and you hurt,
well, you resurrect your career. Okay, so this was one that I was waiting to hold over people but I can't do it because this player turned out to be a bust. And this player was Trey Lance. So I covered Trey Lance in North Dakota when he was a true freshman. He wasn't even the quarterback.
Talk to me.
And he was one of my favorite players to go talk to because he was kind, he was well-spoken, he was approachable, and as the backup quarterback, he was always available. So you could always go talk to Trey. And at the time, I was working at a small radio station in Fargo, and you couldn't really get any of the big boys. It's a little bit like it is here, just on a smaller scale, where like the main quarterback, the big wide receiver, the linebackers, like all those guys get a ton of reporters and TV people. Might come as a shock to those hearing about Fargo, but those players would all get covered. The Trey Lances of the world, I could just walk right up to and come stick on, a microphone in their face and say, "Hey, Trey, what do you think about Northern Iowa this weekend?" And I was hoping so bad that he would turn out to be something so that I could say, "I saw Trey Lance before any of you." And now, unfortunately, at a party, I have to go, "Yeah, I saw Trey Lance before any of you."
But even the night of the draft, though, I think you could have did that.
I did.
Oh, okay.
I was sending it a lot of text messages.
That Vontae and Butch audio of after the first practice with them, that was incredible. But, man, it'll be hard to top that one, Evan, or that won't rank because Trey didn't hold up his end of the bargain.
No, that one's not going to...
But he got drafted.
Well, people in San Francisco are going to know who he is forever, but not for the right reasons.
All right,
you know?
Okay. Yeah. Look at you, the right reasons.
Yeah, I was hoping that he would be great.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He wasn't. Let's go to Drew in Sunnyvale. Drew, what's going on, my man? What do you got?
Hey, guys. Great show. Great topic. Yeah, Aaron Gordon and I were actually in the same graduating class at Archbishop Mitty. Back in the day. And I mean, just watching him, it was otherworldly watching him in high school, but you never quite knew it would translate to the pros. We knew he was highly rated, but like a guy from San Jose, becoming a professional athlete was kind of one in a million, right? The only guy out of San Jose who ever got to, went to those heights, probably Joey Chestnut. Right. So, I mean, he was so good in high school that he never had to shoot. He would always take guys off the dribble, jump right over them. Like it was amazing to watch. And I mean, yeah, the only question was, could he shoot at the next level, right? And that's the one thing that he really struggled with. But like watching him in these playoffs, especially him hitting that big three to win the game one versus OKC, that brought me like so much pride to where like, hey, you can be like the number one player in your high school class, still have flaws, and then come out the other side.
Yeah,
you know, be a like ultimate pro player. And I wish Jonathan Kuminga could learn a thing or two from that as well. You know, that's just my take on it. But super proud of Aaron Gordon. Thanks,
hey, appreciate
guys.
It, man.
Thanks, Drew.
Now, again, and Evan, I love the question. It was yours, but I can't steal that man's thoughts that you shared with the nation, everybody listening. But if I said Gordon was the fourth pick in a NBA draft, even if he couldn't shoot, would you say, you know, getting picked that high, greatness was within his reach?
Sure, but I think he's saying he saw him in high school.
Okay, all right,
you know,
I got
he saw that player in high school, and again,
you're,
like
you are right.
You know, I'm trying to think of the best player from my area. Might have been like around my grade was like Ivan Rabb. He went to O'Dowd.
Yeah,
really good player, great high school player, solid college player. But in high school, he was better than everybody. But I wasn't looking at him like, oh, I think he's going to be something
KG.
Great.
I
think he turned out to be a second-round pick. And,
yeah.
You know, he's still playing. But, like,
played for the Grizz.
You never know what those players are going to turn into. Aaron Gordon was a top recruit, went to Arizona, was on, I think, a one seed, was a really good college player. But you never know what those players are going to turn into.
That's amazing, man.
Let's go to Christian. Is in Fairfield. Wants to talk about, a couple big boys. Hey, Christian, how we doing?
Yeah, there's two legendary ones here, Evan.
What's
up? I'm doing good. Hey, did you get your raise? Fat Joe paid $74,000 for those courtside seats. I'm team Evan needs the raise, guru.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. I'm going to try to see what I can, but I'm working on myself first. Did that come out?
You too, man. I'm team guru, too. You know that.
Not that much, Christian. Thanks, man.
I'll start with the basketball one first. Yeah. In 92-93, I played for San Francisco State. We played Santa Clara, and Steve Nash was a freshman when I was a freshman. He had like 11, and I had 13. And there was a number 20 on their team that was like a Kuminga. He was running by everyone and dunking. And the walk-on on San Francisco State is Ben Baller, Ben Yang, the famous jeweler. So we were looking at Nash when he got drafted like, huh? He only averaged 8 as a freshman, so that was elite. That was impressive, yeah. And then, Goo, you're going to understand this one probably a little bit more than Evan because we're the same age. Jay-Z, I went to Club 181 in 1995 in the Tenderloin. We were bored. It was a Tuesday. Me and my friend who ran track, he was from L.A. Jay-Z opened up for Smooth the Hustler and Conscious Daughters. He was in a green army fatigue. And we were booing him.
Dude,
my boy
wow.
From LA was screaming South Central.
Right, that's incredible. Conscious Daughters,
he was
man.
Rapping fast.
Man.
Yeah, Goo. He was rapping fast, you know, the Fushnikin style rap. Smooth the Hustler had broken language. He was in there with the. So he had the whole 50 people of the crowd rocking. And then, you know, Conscious Daughters did their little swing.
And let me ask you this, which one shocked you more? Jay-Z being Jay-Z? The King or Nash having the career he had? Because it's almost a tie for me.
I got to go with Jay-Z. He made me a fan. Being from the West
Man,
Coast,
I'm with
seeing
you.
Him going from getting yeah. booed in the Tenderloin yeah. to being one of the greatest ever. Yeah,
Tupac made
Jay-Z.
Me hate on Jay-Z, and then I realized, two's pretty good. Right?
Thanks, yeah. Christian.
Yeah. I transferred to Brooklyn College. And made me a Jay-Z fan.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, way to fit in.
Right
that's
on.
Probably
well,
smart for you.
Definitely came a long ways yeah. from booing the guy. Imagine
Jay-Z opening up Conscious Daughters, looking at my
Jay-Z?
Kaufman Plex on Vernon.
Oh, my yeah. God. I'm trying to think of a player that, yeah, again, somebody that, like, you didn't think was going to be good that ended up becoming great.
This, like, it's not easy, Evan. You had to be in a position to, like, Ken, you only had one, huh?
You also like, have to be judgmental.
Well, you had three. You're right. I had Pods, Eddie House.
No. I'm talking about the inverse, which is you see someone, you're like, I don't really know about that guy. And then that person ends up being something ridiculous. Like, that list might be longer than the flip side.
And you're right on the Aaron Gordon. The caller called and said, I saw him in high school, Goo, not when he got picked in the lottery. So he had seen something then.
Well, he is a representative of the South Bay. All right, Will is in Marin.
Will,
what's up, man? How we doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I got two. So the first one was in 2017. I saw Aaron Judge hit an absolute bomb against Oakland in the Coliseum, and I didn't. And at the time, yeah, he was having a really good season. But the year prior, he had like a 179 batting average, had single-digit home runs, and it just—he was the first player that I watched it just like, cause I grew up watching Barry Bonds, and when he was holding a baseball bat in his hand, it just looked like a toothpick. And it was the same thing from Judge, like the power, like the sound of the way that the ball just came off the bat was just different. The way it just echoed and ricocheted through the Coliseum and just how effortlessly his swing was to just park it dead center. It was just like, yeah, he's going to be absolutely Man. Special. And then my second one, yeah, it was sick. And then my second one is, I was a huge fan of Dom Kennedy, and I went to his concert, and it was $18. It was me, my buddy Ryan McNichol, one of our buddies Shane, and a few girls that we went with just having fun. And the opening act was Kendrick Lamar. But mind you, this was before Kendrick was Kendrick. This was like in the backpack day. So I was literally close. Like my homeboy was close to like Post Malone. Like we were right there on stage. He was right there, and he was really good, but like it was like a few years later, he switched up his flow. My homie Ryan McNichol, I'll never forget this. He was like, yo, is this the same Kendrick Lamar we saw for $15? And I go, yeah. And he goes, yeah, dude, his flow is completely different. And my homie Shane was still there. He's like, yeah, we ain't going to be able to see him for $15 no more. But no, it was awesome, though.
Wow.
It was a great experience. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Memories,
Z. Nice job, Will.
Kendrick Lamar. We got to keep it right. And I've always been a fan, but I didn't know he was headed this to where he is now, the King. One of them.
Well, so, he's special, but
on the flip side, real quick, I saw Dom Kennedy for like $30.
You thought he stunk?
No. Kendrick Lamar had just came out with Good Kid, Mad City, and he brought him out as a special guest.
Wow, Dom's still flowing. L.A. rapper.
Amazing.
Yeah, Dom is tight.
All right, let's wrap these up. We got a couple minutes left until the crossover.
Steiny could be mad he missed out on this one.
Oh, he'll be back tomorrow. Yeah. He's rich with love.
Yeah, that is a good drop.
Yeah, let's get nuts. All right, Will's in Livermore. Will, what up?
Yes. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. So the year was 1983, the summer of 1983. I was a master's student in Kansas State University. I used to play basketball at Ahern Fieldhouse, just pickup games.
Wow.
This day I went into the fieldhouse. It was closed. The fellow there, it's an empty campus because it's in between sessions in summer. He said, no, we have a practice here of the U.S. Pan Am team. And he allowed me to go there and see them scrimmage. I was looking at this guy just jumping off the gym and just scoring, stealing balls. I mean, I figured this is somebody special, but I never found out who he was until I was later on a PhD student in University of Illinois, and I went to a Chicago Bulls game. It happened to be Michael Jordan that I saw that day.
Wow,
1983 at Ahern Fieldhouse. It was Jack Hartman was the coach. He was the coach of the Pan Am team, and they won the gold medal. That was quite a thing to see.
I'll bet.
Dude, that's incredible.
You saw Mike.
Yeah. Had a pretty good little career.
Yeah, safe to say he turned out.
Yeah.
See, but that is crazy, though. Again, like, there's no social media. There's no video. He sees this kid. He's like, wow, that guy's unbelievable. And then a couple of years later in Chicago, he's like, wait a minute.
Dude.
That was that guy from the gym who's scoring 37
a
night.
Wow, man.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's wrap this up with Omar, who's in Alameda. Omar, what do you got?
How you doing, guys? Man, I got two people, man. It was 2011, my freshman year at McClymonds High School. And I heard about Marcus Peters, but I really didn't know a lot about him.
Mm.
And I didn't play football. I played basketball and baseball. Long story short, he was doing his thing on the football field. Obviously, went on to go to University of Washington. But basketball season comes around. I'm playing JV. This dude plays varsity. And he's not that tall. He's about 6 feet probably. And he was doing wing nails, man. He was doing what they call it, an East Bay between the leg. And I'm looking at him like, man, this dude is a stud. And then baseball season comes around, and he comes out to play baseball. And I'm a pitcher and shortstop. Man, this dude is playing center field, tracking balls down, pitched a couple games. I was just like, man. And then we obviously know he went on to be a first-round pick, Kansas City, and I think he played for the Rams and a few teams. And that same year when I was playing baseball, we had an ex, our coach played in the minors. His name is Marcel Johnson. He used to bring his son with him. He was only like 12 years old. His name was Osiris Johnson. Man, this dude was like 11, 12 years old practicing with us. And fast forward 2018, he's a first round pick out of Ensenada High School.
Wow.
By the Miami Marlins. I don't think his career panned out. He's still in the farm system. But I remember seeing that kid at third base at like 11, 12 years old. I was like, man, this kid's going to be special. And he ended up being a first-round pick out of Ensenada High School. And it just shows you never know who you're around.
Man, that's beautiful.
No doubt,
and
Omar.
Marcus Peters was a baller.
Marcus DB, Peters, yeah, that's right. Yeah, West Oakland.
Yeah, with the West. Remember, he almost went at the dude in the stands. He was on the Rams. He's like, where you from, homie? I was like, he was in a uniform. He pulled up on him like, man, that was real. Yeah, Google that, Marcus Peters. He was a baller, man.
Oh, he was incredible. Yeah, growing up, especially when he was at the Chiefs.
And jumped the routes with the best of them.
Oh, he was a cat burglar, as you'd like to say. But he bet right quite
and that
a bit.
That's great.
Yeah, when he bet, he was spot on. He was damn good for some time. All right, I do want to get the boys' thoughts on the other side. And look, we had a lot we didn't get to.
But this was great, man. Now you got me thinking. But I'm not mad that I only have the couple that come to mind. You don't see Miss America every day.
Well, and this is from the 650 on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Michael Jordan caller wins. Everybody else go home. Like, nobody saw Jordan.
Did he say Panama games?
I think he saw him. He said at Kansas State.
Yeah, at the arena.
Yeah, just anyways, that is a great story. And that's cool. Everyone's got a story like that. If you really think about it,
might not be Michael Willard Jordan. Have one? Because I'm asking. You better ask
him. How about we find out on the other side? All right, that's what's coming up on the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. The crossover, Evan Imperstein with Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're back after this. That segment brought to you by Cache Creek Casino Resort.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.